Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Have you ever turned up somewhere in the wrong clothes? When I was a teenager, I used to hate own clothes day in school. I've talked to quite a few people who agreed with me about this. At least when we were all wearing our uniforms, we were basically the same. On own clothes day, there was competition who had the most cool and expensive clothes. The worst thing that could happen, however, was if you forgot it was own clothes day. That was seriously embarrassing. As you know by now, the Colossian church were tempted to go beyond Christ. And the Apostle Paul says to them today, put the right clothes on. By which he means, be the right sort of person. Be Christ-like. It's an application of this teaching that they should stay with Christ. They shouldn't go beyond Christ. He's insistent that the Colossians are not to go beyond Christ. Christ is the image of God in 1:15. Paul loves and suffers proclaiming Christ to bring Christians to maturity in Christ in 1:28. We have fullness in Christ in 2:10. There's no need for anything beyond Christ. Therefore, do not go back to legalism, mere religious rule-keeping, 2:16. Rule-keeping lacks any value in restraining sensual indulgence, in 2:23. In chapter 3, we are raised with Christ, so put to death the sinful nature, in 3:5, and take off the old self with its practices in 3:9, and put on the new self in 3:10. So here's Paul's big idea. Take off the wrong clothes, put on the right clothes. Take off the old sinful nature like a disgusting and filthy set of clothes. Put on the new self like a clean, smart outfit. My son Robbie had the privilege of working at James Norton's pig farm for a whole summer. He thoroughly enjoyed it. He likes getting dirty. But boy, did he need to change his clothes when he came home. So tonight's headings, they're on your tables and on the screen. Put the right clothes on, put up with each other, and put on love. So firstly, put the right clothes on, verse 12. I have this experience a lot. Perhaps we all do. You need to have the right clothes on. I would wear one set of clothes to sing in a concert, say, my dinner suit. I would wear different clothes to go to the gym. I wouldn't get very far at the gym in my dinner suit, and they'd think it was rather strange if I turned up for a classical concert in t-shirt and shorts. Perhaps you play in a sports team. It's very important to have the right kit on. There was a rugby match last week between Cardiff Blues and Glasgow Warriors, and they both turned up in the same colour kit. They both wore light blue. It was a nightmare for everybody, the players, the ref, the commentators. It's astounding that in the professional era this could happen. But it did. Sometimes you've got to put the right clothes on. What's Paul's argument here, verse 12? Therefore, because you have been raised with Christ, because you've been saved from sin and death and hell, because you will appear with Christ in glory, because you are putting to death whatever belongs to the sinful nature, because you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge of its creator, because Christ is all and in all, therefore, as God's chosen people. That's very important. We're not trying to win the love of God. Sadly, some parents don't know how to show love to their children. And the children are insecure and feel the need to win their parents' love. And that doesn't work. The actress Claire Foy played the Queen in The Crown. She was an insecure child. Foy's parents separated when she was 8, and she said her response to the family breakdown had been to try to make everyone happy. Never be angry, be really sweet and well behaved. I didn't want to upset people. But a child has to be secure in their parents' love. And God can heal us where we're not. The point here is, we are secure in God's love as God's chosen people. He adopted us. He chose us. We are holy and dearly loved. Can you see that? We couldn't be more loved. God has made us holy. Jesus has died for us. He has paid for all our sin. He has taken our sin away, 2:14. Having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. There is no charge against us. It has been taken away, nailed to the cross. Jesus has paid there for all our sins. So, we are chosen people, holy and dearly loved, if we've made Jesus Saviour and King. And therefore, not to win God's love, but as those who've experienced grace, clothe yourselves. Put the right clothes on. Put the right clothes on because of who you are in Christ. These are the clothes a Christian will always want to wear. What are these clothes? Compassion. Compassion is where we feel for another person. We feel with them. And so we feel their pain. And we're moved to pray for them. And perhaps help them in some way. It's related to the second item of clothing. Kindness. I so value kind friends. Again, when I was in school, I had friends, but I often felt I couldn't be myself. I couldn't be real with them. It wasn't always the case. I had some good friends, but many of us were insecure in our friendships. At Christchurch, people are so kind. When babies are born, when people are ill, meals are cooked, people look after other people's children, and so we could go on. I'm so impressed by the compassion and kindness in this church. Humility. Jesus is the great example of humility. Remember Philippians 2, 5 to 11? In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You can't get more humble than that. Jesus is God. He had everything. He made himself nothing. We need to wear this clothing. We need to show Christ through our humility. And then gentleness and patience. I remember once my brother-in-law Martin said to me that so-and-so would make a good vicar because he was gentle. And I said to him, what makes you think gentleness is the primary qualification for ministry? After all, a church leader is engaged in spiritual warfare. He's a military leader. And he said to me, no, he needs to be gentle. And he was right. It's very challenging to be tough and strong, which you undoubtedly need to be as a Christian, to stand up for Christ in the world, and to be gentle. Jesus, of course, modeled this perfectly. He could be tough with the Pharisees, tough with the money changers in the temple, and so gentle that the little children could come to him. And patient. I wonder how patient you are. It's the norm now for a wedding. The service takes place, say, somewhere like the Free Church. The guests and the wedding party hop in their cars and take a quick trip to the reception venue, say the Broadway. But for one couple, things got a little more complicated. After their service, Jeff and Rebecca Payne left the reception, along with the rest of the guests, and found themselves in an enormous traffic jam. After being parked there for an hour, a couple of fellow drivers who'd noticed the wedding dress had an idea. How about having the first dance right there on the roadside? And they did. Jeff and Rebecca decided to do it, getting out of their car and dancing to music from Spotify. And somebody filmed them. And this man said they were great sports. They handled the whole thing so well. The dance turned it into a party. That was a great way to handle frustration patiently. I certainly struggle with patience. It's a wonderful thing if you can turn a frustrating situation, like being stuck in traffic, into something creative. I could learn from that. But what Paul has in mind here, of course, is being patient with one another. Not losing our temper with one another. Not getting cross with one another. I don't think I'm very good at this. But when I find someone difficult, I try to say to myself, remember how patient God has been with me. God is patient with me, so I must be patient with him or her. Put the right clothes on. Secondly, put up with each other. Verse 13. Mark Mennell was a big help to me as a student. He read the Bible with me one-to-one. He was on the staff at St. Ebb's in Oxford, then at All Souls Langham Place for 9 years. He's also been a missionary in Uganda. He's now a full-time writer and speaker. Mark says, I recently chatted with a woman from a missionary family who is now really struggling to cling to her faith. She simply stated that she'd never encountered a Christian leader who was not manipulative of others. But her cynicism was no contrived posture. It was an agonized, if understandable, reaction to having her fingers burnt too many times. I have to say, that's not my experience. I've known many Christian leaders, and I find most of them godly. But I know what she's talking about. How different is Paul's vision, verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. In Paul's vision, we're in community together. We're loving one another. We all want the best for each other. And when I fail, you forgive me. And when you fail, I forgive you. We forgive because God forgave us. I've been forgiven so much. Day after day, God forgives me, blesses my life. It's the same for you. We've been forgiven. How can we withhold forgiveness from others? The farmer Melvin Burns is an amazing example of forgiveness. There was a string of thefts at his farm, and he went on Facebook to offer the thief a job if he would only turn himself in and come back to see Melvin Burns. It was incredibly kind of Melvin Burns. He said that he could take this person from being heading for prison and give them back respectability, a wage, and a new life. Well, for most of us, we just need to get on and forgive and stop bearing a grudge. It isn't going to require the kind of commitment Burns shows. We're not going to have to be there every day with this person. We're not going to have to shell out from our own funds. We just need to get on and forgive and stop bearing a grudge. Forgiveness oils the wheels of church life. There may be some here, and you're so hurt, forgiveness seems a very long way off. I would simply say that forgiveness is the way to peace of mind. I'd be very happy to meet up with anybody who's really struggling with forgiveness. So put the right clothes on, put up with each other, and thirdly, put on love. There's a lovely song in the musical Annie, which says, "You're never fully dressed without a smile." Remember that? Who cares what they're wearing on Main Street or Savile Row? It's what you wear from ear to ear and not from head to toe. You're never fully dressed without a smile. It's very true, isn't it? You may have wonderful clothes, but if you look miserable, you don't look nice. In the same way, you can try and put on the things we've talked about tonight, compassion, kindness, humility, and so on. But if you don't put on love, you're not being Christian. You're being a good moral person, and there's a difference. Remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3? If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Colossians 3:14. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. God has loved me, so I must love him and love his people. I must put this love on like clothing. And when I do, love will bind together all these virtues in perfect unity. Putting on love is an expression of who I am in Christ. I am a Christian, and so I should wear these clothes. Put the right clothes on. Put up with each other and put on love. Have you come in the right clothes tonight? Not Sunday best, but compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Are we bearing with one another, forgiving one another, as the Lord forgave us? We put these clothes on because of who we already are in Christ. We are already Christians. We have been forgiven. We are loved by God. We're not earning salvation by doing these things. Rather, because we have been shown such love by God, we put on love. If you're not a Christian, if you've never experienced the love of God, do talk to me afterwards and I can help you. If you are a Christian, be what you are. Be the person God has made you. You are his dearly loved child in Christ. And so may our love bind us all together in perfect unity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that you've loved us from before the creation of the world, that you gave us to the Son, and he came to die for us. Thank you that we are your dearly loved children. Help us, Lord, to be completely secure as we trust in Christ, secure in your love. and help us to put on these items of clothing. Supremely, to put on love, so that we may show Christ to the world. In whose name we pray. Amen.